with the Holy Spirit dancing amidst us. St. Francis of Assisi said, Christ is the one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Though we cannot see one another, God is with us, moving and working and restoring us with abounding grace. Even at home, I implore you to resound with amen, amen. Let us gather, using a tradition practiced at Nassanger in Haiti. It focuses our bodies and spirits to share all things, to share love, healing, good vibrations, and peace. Simply hold the palm of your right hand so it faces down, and the palm of your left hand so it faces up. The palm of your right hand facing down is held with a giving spirit, and the palm of your left hand is up with a receiving spirit, one hand giving and the other hand receiving. All together, breathe deeply. Breathe in all of the positive energy. And all together, breathe out. Breathe out love, healing, and peace to the world. Breathe deeply again. And again. And all God's people say, amen, amen. It's Palm Sunday. It's a day of tradition where everyone waves palms, parades around the sanctuary, and sings praises. It seems like an impossible thing to do listening to this audio recorded message. I assure you, it is not impossible. The tradition of waving palms comes from the story where it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The truth is that the crowd simply reached for whatever was near them, coats and branches, to celebrate and honor Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. This morning, I encourage you to find whatever you have nearby. Daffodils, branches from your lawn, spoons and pots to drum, or even simply your hands waving in the air. Jesus rode in on a donkey, humbly entering the city of the temple and walking in solidarity amidst the people. As I read the proclamation of entrance into Jerusalem from the book of Matthew, may we too garb this humility. May we express our joy and simplicity with awesome and mighty spirit. So grab whatever is nearby. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And as people, we respond with joy, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. Lord, you triumphed as your children waved palms and praised you. Hosanna, save us, Lord. You rode in humbly on a donkey, remaining in solidarity with the people. Hosanna, save us, Lord. As we face your death and recall the week of suffering, may we do so with a joy that anticipates the celebration of your resurrection. May we do so with a joy that will transform us here and now. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God, spoken for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The message this morning is titled, Donkeys, Colts, Lions, and Mice. Holy Week begins with a celebratory parade. Loud hosanna, save me, ring out all along the street as Jesus enters Jerusalem. Jesus comes riding on a donkey, leading the colt beside him. This is a grand act of humility. Though he is welcomed as if a king, he enters as an ordinary person. He garbs the very presence of a peasant. By Friday, this acclaimed king will once again take a position of great humility, resigning himself to the fate given him by the crowd. He will accept their cries, "Crucify him!" Meekly, he will go to the cross and die. In this paradox of extreme love and hate lies the most powerful human story that defines our best and our worst. Both of our readings this morning share one common theme, humility. I looked up the meaning of the word humility and discovered this definition in the Chambers English Dictionary dated 1988. The state or quality of being humble, lowliness of mind, modesty. The adjective form means low, lowly, modest, unpretentious, having a low opinion of oneself. All of these words initially felt negative, as if humility required a lack of self-worth, negating any importance, and requiring almost a doormat mentality of weakness. An article titled Humility on the site Skills You Need explains humility this way. But humility, as practiced by the great religious leaders, was not negative. Their opinions of themselves were low, only in the sense that they understood that they were not more important than others. They also understood that they were not less important than others either. In other words, humility is not being a doormat and allowing people to walk all over you. Instead, it is an understanding that every human is equally valuable, a recognition that you are worth no more or less than anyone else. Here's another way to try to understand humility. The following story, The Lion and the Mouse, poignantly illustrates humility. A lion was awakened from sleep by a mouse running over his face. Rising up angrily, he caught the mouse and was about to kill him when the mouse said, "If you spare my life, I will repay your kindness someday." The lion laughed and let him go. It happened shortly after this that the lion was caught by some hunters who bound him with strong ropes. The mouse, recognizing the lion's roar, came, gnawed through the rope, and set him free. The mouse then exclaimed, "You did not think that I would ever be able to help you. You now see that it is possible for even a lion to need the help of a mouse." Humility is a ground zero mentality that opens us up to receive all people, regardless of race, gender identification, age, education, economic status, political affiliation, citizen status, as equals. All people are equally valuable and, if accepted as so, contribute to the wholeness of our world, God's one kingdom in Christ. You're probably wondering how donkeys, colts, lions, and mice can offer us a message of any importance. They're just animals. I wondered that too. I also wondered how this letter of Paul, used to inspire and unite the faith of a community in Philippi, could possibly guide our journey through a holy week with the COVID-19 pandemic. This intimate letter, written by Paul around 60 CE, was addressed to the Philippians who lived in a major city of Macedonia in northern Greece. As a Roman colony, it was located on the Via Egnatia, a Roman road that connected the east and the west along a major shipping route that reached Italy. This was a city of commerce and sojourners and diversity. Paul was writing this letter while awaiting a trial in which he believed would lead to his imminent death. As we begin Holy Week, we find the writer of this letter in a similar position to that of Jesus, predicting and awaiting his death. This is our daily news, predictions of illness and death. We are all waiting to see the numbers. We are all wondering who will make up those numbers. Both Jesus and Paul were resigned to their death. Paul implores a spirit of solidarity, inviting the Philippians to a shared experience. He exclaims from the very beginning this beautiful witness of togetherness, saying, "You hold me in your heart," or otherwise translated, "because I hold you in my heart." Listen to the mutuality of such a statement that means both, you holding me and me holding you. Is that not the best expression of love? He immediately establishes a message that is entirely about community. He doesn't ask the Philippians to come and do what he is doing, but he seeks their solidarity. The Philippians can take part in his imprisonment and suffering, struggling with Paul and working alongside him. It is risky, especially in a city along the thoroughfare of Roman business. Who sides and invests in a man destined to die for the message of the one already defeated at the cross of the Roman Empire? Paul's plea is to share in this journey together, to share in the suffering and the ultimate victory as lived by Jesus. The This message of community and solidarity is crucial to understanding the humble spirit of Jesus. In this image of Christ, Paul emphasizes how Christ, though divinely identified with God, humbles himself in his incarnate nature. Jesus on the cross is fully human. Jesus renounces the form of God and voluntarily relinquishes his divine nature to become mortal. In meekness, nonviolently, he accepts the humiliation, the judgment despite innocence, and the grueling death. This is who Jesus was. This is what Jesus taught. Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." The contrasts seem obvious, but let's name them. Donkeys are the animal of choice for those who labor and carry heavy loads. Colts are young, swift, and noble. The lion is notably identified as king of the jungle, at the top of the food chain. The mouse is notably the lowliest of the land, weak and squeaky, and a scavenger. If you were to choose to be an animal, who would you be? The donkey, the colt, the lion, the mouse? The same question, who are your heroes today? See, the people on the front lines of this pandemic look different than those identified as heroes before this moment. They are the people who are cleaning our hospitals and picking up our trash, who are checking us out at the grocery store and pharmacies, who are driving trucks across a nation otherwise shut down, who are caring for our elderly in nursing homes, who are feeding the sick and washing their laundry. These are the people risking not only their own lives, but the very lives of their families. Our lives depend on the courage, strength, and compassion of people who work some of the lowest paid jobs. Jobs that have denied them health care and benefits. And their work protects and saves our lives. There couldn't be a more perfect real-life example of the lion and the mouse, the donkey and the colt. Jesus' story teaches us this really important message. Love me for what I have to offer you right now, just as I am. The people in Jerusalem cried out for a king to save them. A royal king who would be a warrior like David. Jesus was not that. He meekly submitted to death on the cross. Paul, the apostle who came with the message of Jesus to the Philippians, also faces trial and death. He implores the people to stand with him in this suffering and to see such sacrifice through different eyes than that which the world demands. Choose the donkey. Choose the mouse. Not because the donkey is better than the colt, nor the mouse better than the lion. Accept them as equally powerful, equally important. A king like David is equal to a king like Jesus. Love me for who I am. Love me for what I have to offer. Out of that love, miracles happen. Undiscovered gifts and beauty and strength emerge. Let us believe that it is the salt of the earth, not just the gold, that makes us rich. Paul wrote his letter from a prison cell, imploring the Philippians, a people of a busy commerce city, to share in his suffering, the very human suffering experienced by Jesus. For Paul, this is the heart of Jesus' message, to be of one people, of one spirit, and to share in the human experience. Paul encourages us to walk together in solidarity with a humble heart that sees all people as equally important and worthy. We must lift one another up. We must hear the voices and cries of all people. We must embrace one another in difference. We empty ourselves and think of others. What does that mean today? We need to find a way to thank those who are waging the war on the front lines of this pandemic. Wanda wrote to me about Sean, one of our members who is a truck driver. She wrote, "Sean has been out west for a while, including California, which is a real bad place to be right now. He just passed through Utah on his way to Washington an hour after an earthquake hit. Praise God, and may he continue to help us through it all." We need to lift up and encourage all of our frontline workers. We need to protect them and serve them. How, Calvary, will we come together in humility and hold them up? This is Holy Week. It's a journey with Jesus, our Lord and Liberator, through his trial, suffering, and death. And it's our journey right now through this pandemic. Paul teaches us that we need to do this together, communally. We are to build our community on the basis of self-sacrifice. Our union with Christ is in unity with all of humanity, treating one another in humility and in gentleness. I implore you to join together. You hold me in your heart because I hold you in my heart. Every day this week, we will gather in some way. We need to discover what it is that we need to do to lift up and encourage all our frontline workers. We have work to do. So on Monday and Tuesday, I will be sharing a devotional. On Wednesday, we're going to have a time of prayer during a Zoom meeting. Thursday and Friday, we will gather in Zoom meetings alongside St. John's Lutheran Church. Calvary will host the Monday-Thursday service, and St. John's will host the Good Friday service. In our time of travel, we will journey together in the comfort and strength of one another, but doing so, thinking of others, with a heart of humility. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together, saying it out loud with heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So as we move into this time of offering, I have a gift to share. While reflecting on Psalm 23, everyone was encouraged to write a song to God, to create images, to express our hearts of thanksgiving, sorrow, and praise. Diane Anderson has shared her response in a psalm for 2020. She wrote, In the morning, I rise and sing praises to you, O Lord. You are an awesome God. All creation glorifies your name. In the midst of the day, I search for you, and I cry to you for mercy. Look on your suffering people, Lord. Give us peace and heal the world. At night, I lay down to sleep and listen for you, O Lord. My family and friends are far from me, but you are near. Like a loving parent, you surround me with your comfort. I will trust in you and rest. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, sovereign over power and pain, glorious triumph and deep disappointment, we enter this holy week bringing our tithes and offerings to your altar and leaving them here in the hope you will send them to make the world a more loving and compassionate place. We are reminded through the scripture that you sent two of your disciples out to make the world ready for your coming. Go into the village. Find the donkey. Tell them the Lord has need. Remind us that your kingdom breaks into the world, not as a spectacle for us to witness, but as a parade where we are all called to make a working contribution. We pray in the name of the one who comes not just for the parade, but for the cross at the end of it. Amen. As we end this service, let us join together as we did in the beginning. The palm of your right hand facing down is held with a giving spirit, and the palm of your left hand is up with a receiving spirit, one hand giving and the other hand receiving. We are united in Christ. As St. Francis of Assisi declared, Christ is the one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Nothing can separate us, and so we remain as one. Receive your benediction. May the presence of God, the Creator, give you strength. May the presence of God, the Redeemer, give you peace. May the presence of God, the Sustainer, give you comfort. May the presence of God, the Sanctifier, give you love. Amen.